Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Welcome to the Dogs Podcast with your hosts, Blake Reniker, Justin Charles, and Josh All.
What's up, Browns fans? Welcome back to another episode of the Dogs Podcast, live coming to you. First in-studio live podcast edition since we did the draft episode. I just wanted to give a shout-out to everybody who's here with us on the second night of the draft, hung out with us for 4 hours basically doing the draft. We had DF and Devontae in the studio helping us out. That was a ton of fun. It's 4 hours live to do a draft episode, and we've done it now 4 years in a row, and it can be very tiring. And I don't want to sound like a giant vagine here, but it can be very tiring, like being on camera for four straight hours and like talking to people. But to me this year, it was like the fastest it went. I don't know if our picks were like spaced well apart and teams were moving quickly, but I got to the end and I was like, oh, that wasn't as bad as, you know, it has been. I wasn't quite as fatigued.
Yes.
But yeah, we just want everybody who was here with us on draft night, we appreciate you guys being here, hanging out with us for the whole night. We are going to talk a lot about what we thought of our draft picks. Some of the grades that are being thrown around out there. We're also going to talk about the center the Browns just signed. So a little bit of everything. We got a voicemail from Kenny Mack to get to. So it's going to be a good episode. We appreciate all you guys being here. Before we get into everything, though, remember, if you want to leave a voicemail on the show like Kenny does all the time or an intro, head to thedogspodcast.com. Tap leave voicemail on the drop-down menu. You'll also find the merch store there with a lot of our t-shirt designs. I think they're running a promo code right now, right?
Yeah, it ends tomorrow.
So
if you want to get shirts, take 25.
gets you like $25 off of $100 order. So go buy $100 worth of Dogs t-shirts and get them for $75.
There you go.
We got some pretty cool t-shirts on there.
I got the new one right here.
That one's I like that.
Yep.
We got some pretty cool ones. So ask Andrew Jackson, Dog Pack member. He's got like 18 of our t-shirts that we give to him all for free. Where was I? Again, okay, if you're watching on YouTube, sorry, I got off track talking about all of our sweet merch. If you're watching right now on YouTube and you haven't, please subscribe. Please do so. Help us get to 10K before the start of the football season. That's a big goal of ours. We're really pushing to try to make that happen. Make sure you tap the notification bell so you don't miss any of the new content we're putting out throughout the entire offseason. You can also find us on all the major social media platforms at The Dogs Podcast. And you can also just listen to the show if you prefer at Apple, Spotify, and Google. Lastly, if you're looking for more Dogs content, head to jointhedogs.com, become an official Dog Pack member on the Patreon page. DF and Devontae, who are here with us on Draft Night, are Dog Pack members. Same with Kenny Mack. I almost forgot about giving him a shout out because I was thinking about the guys back there. Kenny Mack was sitting right here to my right for 4 hours after gallivanting across all of North America.
Oh my gosh.
He was in Canada or Ottawa to Detroit. To here or to like Cleveland, down here to New Philly, back up to Toronto, and then finally back to Ottawa. The dude, he was just like all around North America.
He's a machine.
Yes. So he does it for the Browns. He's diehard. So I didn't want to forget to give him a shout out. And he found his packages.
Yeah,
no kidding.
That was a blessing.
Yeah.
Was it you when we got in his car to go grab a beer before the live show and you said, hey, what'd you do? Fly down here?
Yeah. I did say that.
We're in his car.
Yeah.
So
I did do that.
That was fun.
The Dog Pack's a good time. You get an extra episode every week. You get access to the private Discord. We got video game threads. We got smoking meats threads. We got all kinds of threads. Any meat thread you can think of, it's probably in there. So if you want to hang out with us, hang out with cool Browns fans from all over, check out jointhedogs.com to become an official Dog Pack member. So before we get into the draft, the bulk of the episode, we wanted to just kind of talk to you guys. What do you guys think about Browns signing center Brian Allen? He was with the Rams, started 32 games. He was a starter in a Super Bowl win. Mm-hmm. So he's already got one over on the Bengals, so that's nice. He was a Pro Bowl alternate just a couple years ago in 2021. What do you guys think of the signing?
I guess like just the first thing I took out of it when I like saw the news was, man, they don't want to risk the same thing that happened last year. That's what I took away from it. We had so many injuries at so many different positions. Postick was out. You know, so to me, I took this is just more depth. And then it's not even just like a body. You know what I mean? This is a guy he's bringing like Super Bowl pedigree, another guy that has championship, you know, mentality to the team. So I loved it. And I'm guessing, you know, you're not paying this dude a ton of money. You know what I mean? So if, God forbid, there's an injury to Posick, this guy can slide in. And I liked it. It's a good pick.
I mean, you got to remember, like, when Posick came in here, he was signed just to be a depth piece. Correct. Because Nick Harris was going to be the starter. He goes down. Was it the first play of the preseason?
Preseason, yep.
And then Posick comes in and just does nothing but get graded the third best center in the league that year and then gets extended. Now he's the starting center. So I never let any of these be like underestimated, in my opinion. I mean, right. Brian Allen could be a very crucial piece to the offensive line this season, depending on how things go. We don't know, but even if he is just a backup depth piece, that's a great one to have.
Yep.
Well, and we talked about needing to add quality depth on the offensive line. Yep. Like the depth really got tested last year. Yeah. You know, we're playing with guys who maybe like shouldn't even be on an active game day roster at tackles and stuff like that. I think it was, 2 years ago or was it last year? I can't remember, where our center was like a four-string guard for a couple games. Yep. I can't remember.
That was 22.
Okay. Yep. So Freeholt or whatever his name was. So you can't ever get – it's never bad to add quality depth. It's not just about having guys. It's about having guys that if their number's called, they can still go in and perform. Like, you want your backup. He might not be able to play at a consistently high level like an everyday starter, but your backup, it shouldn't be a drop-off. It shouldn't be, this is our starter, and next guy off the bench is a practice squad player. Right. Yep. You know what I mean? It should be a guy who can still come in and give you solid – he can come in and spot start for you a couple games a year if he needs to or something like that. And it's not going to be a huge drop off from the starter. He's maybe not as consistently great, but he can still play at a high level in spurts. And I mean, he's only a couple years removed from being a Pro Bowl alternate, starting for a Super Bowl team that ran the ball well, the way. So it's a very, very good signing by the Browns. And I think you saw with this offseason, this free agency, and we're going to get into the draft, is it wasn't even so much about fixing like the team now or the core now. It was depth and future.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Completely agree.
You know what I mean? So I think it's a great signing by the Browns to get a guy who's been in the league, played in a Super Bowl, all that good stuff.
Well, this is what having good consistency, you know, in your front office and your coaching staff and all that stuff gives you the luxury of being able to do, is learn from your freaking mistakes or learn from things, not even a mistake. Like last year, okay, we had injuries. That's not a mistake, but it's something that happened. But you have the same front office coming back saying, okay, let's address it so that if we run into this situation again, now we know how to handle it better and all that kind of stuff. Because, you know, like the first year we saw them go hard after the offensive line.
Yep.
And then it was hard after the defense. Like this front office, they're not perfect. No front office is perfect. Right. But this is what Browns fans are not used to, having consistency where it's, hey, this is what we tried before. It didn't work. Now we're trying something different, and this is working. And it's like, this is cool. I just love what they're doing right now.
That's agreed.
So we'll kind of move into the draft. We'll segue into the draft here. Before we do, though, we wanted to play a voicemail from Kenny Mack.
Yo, guys, what a time in the studio. I love the picks that we had. I mean, comparing Hall to John Randall was great. Barry said that on his press conference. Getting Zintner where we got him, I mean, great value. Unfortunately, broke his leg, but it was a plus for us. To get into the other picks, though, I want to hear what you guys thought. I love Jamari Thrash. He's got the two things I said. Runs the route tree, flexible hips, in and out of his breaks. Watson, SEC, defensive MVP. He can't go wrong. The last guy that we got was Juwan Briggs. I mean, he was a freak. I think his RAS score was pretty high. The only one I didn't get was Miles Harden. I like what I read about him, but I would have went Jakeem Bell at tight end because the guy can play multiple positions, even played halfback at Florida State, and he went about 5 to 10 picks later. But give me your thoughts, boys. Cheers.
Well, quick thought on Jakeem Bell not being drafted over Miles Harden. I don't think Andrew Berry's taking a tight end over a cornerback. They value cornerbacks so much. And the thing with Bell is he slid the whole way through that draft. And I think it's because of his size. He's a smaller guy. He's never going to play traditional tight end in the NFL. And honestly, I just don't know what his role would have been here because he's not going to come in and be a legit backup as a rookie to David Njoku. So if something happens to David this year, there's no rookie tight end we could have drafted outside of like the top two or three that are going to help us this year.
Right. I know a lot of us were pounding the drum for tight end in the draft and we didn't go that route, but then one of the first things we did was sign one.
Yep.
Yeah.
The kid out of Wyoming.
Yeah.
Which I haven't had a ton of time to read up on, but he seems like everything I read says like is he's got the potential to be a very solid tight end two in the league. Yeah. Which it turns out we have a good tight end one.
He's super athletic. Yep. Very athletic. So yeah, I'm very excited. That's Trayton Welch.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. So when I go look at the draft, the first thing I thought of, you know, draft night, we were here for the 4 hours talking about it. And then like, as we've moved away from the draft, you know, a week out, it's for the first time in probably my life, all of our lives, the Browns were not drafting for starters in the fifth round.
Yes.
No, we weren't getting Muhammad Massaquah to come in and be our number one and Brian Rubisky to come in and be our number two.
Ooh, look at those names you're pulling out.
You know what I mean?
Keep it going.
For the first time, like we all wanted these big name guys. We were talking about moving up to get Mitchell out of Texas. The Jatavion Sanders was out there on the board. I wanted Franklin on draft night. I was like, he's fallen. We can get him. But I think you saw what this draft told me for the Browns is they like our roster.
Yes.
It's a high-end, top-level roster right now. It just won 11 games using 5 different quarterbacks. I think they said, we like our roster as is. We don't need to make huge splashes in the draft because, let's be honest, nobody we draft, even if we would have taken Mitchell in round two, say we took him in round two instead of Michael Hall, round two, he's not starting day one for us. Right. You know who does have a chance to make an immediate impact this year and down the road is Michael Hall.
Right. Yep.
Okay. Like Mitchell wasn't getting on the field. You just gave Judy a contract. You just brought Elijah Moore in. You just drafted Cedric Tillman last year, who I think the franchise has high hopes for. You still have Amari Cooper. You have David Njoku as a pass catcher. Like he wasn't getting on the field probably as a rookie. So we're pounding the drum for some of these high profile names, and the Browns said, we're going to let the draft come to us.
Yes.
We're going to address positions that we know might not be an immediate need now. Like we don't need Michael Hall now, but he will probably see the field this year and hopefully make an impact. But we drafted Michael Hall for next year and the year after. And we're finally drafting for the future because we've built, we started at the bottom. And we started crafting this roster years ago. And it's to the point now where we don't have to reload it in the draft every year. It's just about sustaining and building and having a good foundation and just filling in holes where you think you're going to have them in the coming years. So I think Browns fans had to kind of get over the fact like we didn't necessarily need any of these huge name people. We went and got guys who were going to help us in the future.
I don't think you could have said it any better. And still, like, even when I talk to people about it, they're just like, you know, like, I was just kind of a little disappointed. We really didn't move. There was nothing in this draft that was, like, sexy, right? There was no sexy picks. There's nothing like, oh, man, gosh, you know, like, this guy's going to come in and immediately make an impact. But you couldn't have said it better. I felt like every pick was with down the road in mind. Because a lot of these guys that we like that are key pieces on this team, we're either not going to be able to afford or they're going to, you know, production will fall off. I mean, Joel Bitonio is not going to be around forever.
He's already in the same amount of seasons, I think, is what Joe Thomas played.
Right. So to me, I liked our draft a lot. And it was weird because I felt like, you know, we wanted him to jump. We wanted him to move around. They, like you said, they literally just let everything fall to him. And they didn't for the first time in such a long time, I felt like it wasn't like what we needed right now. Like it was all just, hey, this is the best guy that's available right now. And then we can flip this guy into a starter. Not this year. I don't think that anything in this draft says this year right now, like as far as this is going to be an every down guy, but everything long-term going, you know, two seasons down the road, there's some guys here that can really make a huge impact on this team. And it's cool to see because, you know, it might be frustrating to Browns fans, but I think we're still stuck in the same mentality of like, we have to go get guys. Like we have to go get these special guys right now. Well, we already have those guys. They're on the roster. We're paying those guys. You know, this is down the road. This is depth. You know, if we have the same kind of injury history that we had last year, these guys will get meaningful time. But like, it's so relieving just seeing us being able to build now.
When you go and you look at like the very high level successful teams in the NFL, like the Baltimore Ravens, they never move.
No.
Yeah, they just sit and
they just sit and just let everybody else trip over themselves and give up tons and do all this stuff. And then at the end of the draft, you're like, how'd they end up with these three guys?
Yep.
They just
Eagles do the same thing.
Yes. Who does?
Eagles.
They're aggressive. Yeah. I do like how aggressive Howie is though. Like if Howie's not afraid to sit. Like he'll go and attack some.
Well, they did move up in front of the Browns in round five to get Jeremiah Trotter Jr., which I thought was interesting.
Yes.
But that's a good segue because I know you said this draft wasn't sexy, and Blake, you said, you know, the guy who probably has the most chance to make an immediate impact is Michael Hall, and I agree. But you know, we didn't get Jeremiah Trotter there in the fifth, and we got Nathaniel Bookie Watson in the sixth round. And I think this guy's got a chance to contribute big time in year one. I really do.
Yeah. Just from what I've watched, now it's not a ton. You know what I mean? Like when you're watching these highlight tapes of these guys, they're not going to show you the bad stuff. But like I feel like he's very good at just ball hawking, going to the ball. You know what I mean? Like, and the big weaknesses that I saw from him, like what people would say is like, he's not great in coverage. Well,
that's not his role.
You know what I mean? Yeah. We need him to stop the run. You know, that's like, for years now, that's been like one of our biggest gripes. We're just like, average running backs can absolutely dominate against us. But I really, really like that pick. And then you're getting him, like the value that you're getting him and that late, it's kind of crazy.
Do you remember when we got Martin Emerson? It was, okay, so he dominated against SEC receivers, right?
Yes.
Well, Nathaniel Watson was the SEC Defensive Player of the Year. 137 tackles, 13 tackle for loss, and 10 sacks. And he had a pick.
From the same school
as
MJ.
Yeah. And that's not just like a one-off. The year before, it was 113 tackles, 12 tackle for loss, 6 sacks.
Yep.
Here he dominated competition in the conference that everybody says is the best conference in college football.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And so he was the SEC Defensive Player of the Year. I mean, it's... like you said, to get him as late as we got him, and he's maybe not one of these like new hybrid linebackers, sideline to sideline, but like you said, he's gonna between the tackles, he will stuff the run. We have a sideline to sideline guy.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
we exactly. We have JOK. We have safeties who can come down and play in the box like Grant Delpit and D'Anthony Bell. We have, you know what I mean? We have those people who are athletic enough to do that. We want to free JOK up to do that kind of stuff. We don't want JOK sitting behind, or, you know, 4 yards from the guard with a 310-pound guard coming to the second level to chip on him, and he's got to make the most athletic moves you've ever seen in your life to get around these blocks to try to tackle a running back who then probably weighs 20 pounds more than him. Like, we want JOK freed up to do all this creative blitzing and coverage and sideline to sideline stuff. This guy allows him to be free to do that kind of stuff. And I like how big he is. He's durable. You know, like you said, over 100 tackles, multiple seasons. It wasn't a one-off. No significant missed time for injury in his last two seasons, at least. I didn't look back further.
21, he didn't. I don't think he missed any time. He had 83 tackles.
Yeah, so to me, that like, you got the SEC Defensive Player of the Year in the sixth round. Yes. And you were able to do that because he plays at a position that the league is kind of, it's like the running back of the defense. Yeah. Where people might undervalue it, but if you have a good one, it makes a difference.
I agree.
Like people undervalue running backs, but look how nice it is having Nick Chubb.
Yeah.
When you didn't have Nick Chubb last year, what happened? You know, so you might not value middle linebacker like we did 10 years ago, 15 years ago, but when you have a really, really good one, it makes a difference on your defense.
Yep.
This episode is brought to you by Omaha Steaks. Browns fans, Mother's Day is coming up, and if you are having a cookout or a get-together with friends and family and whatever, you want to make sure you have the best food available, and that's Omaha Steaks. Head to omahasteaks.com/dogs right now. They're doing their spring sale, 50% off site-wide. Plus, you know it, you get $30 off your order when you use promo code DOGS, D-A-W-G-S, when you check out. Get all the good stuff for Mother's Day. Grill out some steaks, burgers, chicken, jumbo franks, brats. They've got seafood. They've got appetizers. They've got desserts. They even have wine. Everything you need for a great Mother's Day cookout or just any cookout this spring. Make sure you get it from Omaha Steaks. They've got the best stuff and the best prices. This is a great deal. You cannot get better food for this deal in the stores. The stores are just screwing us right now. This is awesome. Take advantage. I've been promoting Omaha Steaks for like 3 or 4 years now because I love them. I buy their stuff all the time. The freezer always has Omaha Steaks. I don't even know what's in there half the time. We just pull it out and start eating because it's so good. Give it a try if you haven't. And if you already have, you know how great it is. Get ready for Mother's Day with Omaha Steaks at omahasteaks.com/dogs. 50% off site-wide during the annual spring sale. And get that extra $30 off with promo code DOGS when you check out. Minimum order may apply. This episode is brought to you by Bodden Sports. Browns fans, Bodden Sports is your one-stop shop for all your athletic gear. Bodden started out perfecting and manufacturing the best balls in the business. Yeah, if that sounded dirty, that's more about your mind than my words. But hey, it's true. Baseballs, softballs, footballs, basketballs, volleyballs, soccer balls, you name it, and Bodden has engineered the highest standard sports balls available. And now they offer more than just sports balls. If you got kids playing baseball or softball, Bodden has batting gloves and bats to go along with both game balls and training balls. If you're into basketball, Bodden makes basketball specifically for indoor or outdoor use. Heck, Bodden even has all the equipment you need for pickleball, which is one sport that I hear everyone is playing and yet I still never have. And I need to fix that soon. But don't miss the backyard game section of Bodden's website where you can order everything you need for this upcoming outdoor season. Pool balls, backyard volleyball nets, croquet, bocce, horseshoes, cornhole, and more. Right now, you can get 10% off your entire order at Bodden Sports, BADENSports.com/dogs, DAWGS, and use promo code DOGS when you check out. That's 10% off all the top quality sporting gear you need this season. BADENSports.com/dogs.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I know I've seen some people talk about, I guess we can kind of go a little bit through the picks. Mm-hmm. Michael Hall, I'm never going to complain about drafting an Ohio State player, a good Ohio State player. Right. I didn't like when we did, like I already threw this name out once, but we just drafted. It's like we drafted Brian Rubisky because it's like, oh, we suck.
It's just he's there.
Let's just take this guy out of Ohio State so the fans will be happy so they don't remember that we won 2 games the last 3 years or whatever. But he's a I think he has a chance. He's going to be one of these guys. I think has a chance to be better in the pros than he even was in college. Mm-hmm. Ohio State's defense the last few years has just been, as a whole, like not great. And it's been, you know, we've switched defensive coordinators. I think practices at Ohio State are maybe a little soft at times. Like we're Ohio State's a little bit finesse. Okay. And, but you watch, I've been watching some Jake Burns stuff about Michael Hall. And he says, like, his swim move is insane. He makes linemen miss, like, just whiff frequently with his swim move. He said reminds him a lot of Chris Jones.
Yeah, well, he had the second highest pressure rate of defensive tackles in the nation last year. So, I mean, that kind of stuff. Now, I know the counting stats, obviously. He didn't have a ton of sacks, a ton of tackles, but he wasn't even used that much, was he? I mean, he wasn't, like, a full-time player.
I think the nice thing, too, with him is, like, he's 20 years old.
20, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
local kid coming home.
Yeah.
Oh, I think, what, out of Toledo? Somewhere in there? Streets, he's from Ohio. Streetsboro.
Yeah.
Okay, so even closer.
Yep.
Goes to Ohio State, gets to stay in-state, play in front of his family. He's coming to a defensive line. He's coming to a perfect situation.
Yes.
Okay, I mean, he's coming to a – first of all, he's coming to a team where the defensive coordinator is Jim Schwartz.
Right.
Who's pretty good at getting the best out of his defensive linemen. He's going to play next to guys like Miles Garrett and Dalvin Tomlinson and Ogbo and Shelby Harris and Mo Hurst. I mean, he's playing – he's on a pretty good defensive line.
Yes.
So, like, we don't even – we're not asking this guy to come in and be our immediate day one starter. I think he's got a chance, though, to be, like, a very solid rotational piece this year where he gets in. Maybe he only plays – 15 snaps a game, but like when he's in those 15 snaps, he makes his presence felt. Right. You know what I mean? Like he keeps other guys fresh with being able to give them a spell and that kind of stuff. And I like his versatility. He's athletic enough where you line him up inside, he's going to be quicker than these big guards and these centers and stuff like that. Like, so you can use his athleticism there. If anybody on the edge ever needs a spell, he can bump out and he can rush off the edge for a few plays. Like, I think it's a very good pick. Some people have called it a reach, and then I've heard other people say this was the best defensive lineman in the draft, or at least one of them. So
I think it depends on what you wanted a defensive tackle to do for you. I mean, if you wanted a big run stuff, you know, a gap stuffer, no, he was not your guy. Yeah. For what the Browns wanted him to do, this is the guy.
He was he scored a athletic score of 86, which was third amongst defensive tackles at the combine this year. So he's a very good athlete. I'm excited to see what he does for the Browns. I think he has a guy. I don't know if all these rookies make the team. Obviously, he's going to make the team. And I think the linebacker is going to make the team. But I think this is one of the guys we took who has a chance to make his presence felt this year. Maybe not full time. Like I said, 15 snaps a game somewhere in there where he's going to be a nice rotational piece. Then we move in. I think it's really funny that we take Zach Zinter.
Yep.
The guy who Michael Hall fell on and broke his leg.
Yes.
And honestly, like if Michael Hall doesn't fall on him and break his leg, the Browns probably have no chance of drafting him.
We were saying that before he got here. There's no way we get him in the third round.
Right.
No, I mean, this guy.
Late third round.
Yeah. This dude was like he was the best guard in the country until the injury.
A 4-year starter.
Yeah. And what I saw, like his stats were insane in Michigan. And I'm never going to complain about Jim Harbaugh. What did he do up in Michigan? He turned them in. They were tough. They were physical. Yeah. They were like the opposite of Ohio State, which is why they beat us.
It's true.
You know what I mean? In the trenches, they dominated us the last couple of years. This guy is a mauler. He's tough. 4-year starter at a big time university. And he's just nasty. Like this is a future Wyatt Teller, Joel Bitonio replacement. And he has like future. Like, the sky's the limit for this guy. As long as he comes back from his injury, which by all accounts, he will.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think the sky's the limit for this guy.
All of college at right guard.
Yep.
So, I really do think that, you know, we already talked about Wyatt Teller and his contract situation, and Zach Zinter could easily be the Browns starting right guard next year. That gives him a whole year now to get acclimated to the NFL, get up to speed, kind of learn the ropes of the league versus college, continue to recover from the leg injury, and then next year just... he's the guy, and I really think that he can be that guy.
Perfectly said. That you literally said what I was thinking, just as far as like you let him sit this year, and then you have a starter going into next year, a guy that can step in. And I think he's going to be very good. This honestly, Like, people are like in love with the pick, but like, this is one of my favorite picks for the Browns. Yeah. Like, I think this probably is my favorite pick of the draft. Because we needed the depth.
The last 2 years, he's first team All Big Ten. And this past year, he was voted as a unanimous All American. I mean, he's coming out of the Big Ten.
Yeah.
Like, it's a good conference to get linemen from.
He played for the university. They won the national championship.
Yes.
You know, yeah. And they did it running the ball.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, yes, this was a very, very good pick, I think. And it was one of those deals where Franklin was on the board and we were like, Browns are going to get him. And then we went guard. And so maybe like the people, including myself, like, but it wasn't like the Newsom Bateman thing where I was like, ah, and I was pissed until like 3 days later. It was like oh man, this guy's really good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's just not sexy.
Yeah.
It's just not sexy.
Exactly.
You know?
So great pick by the Browns, in my opinion. Then we move to the fifth round, take wide receiver Jamari Thrash. I know Josh has looked into this guy a lot. Everything I can tell about this guy, and it hasn't been, I haven't looked a ton, is he's just kind of like a savage in terms of like, he doesn't take shit from anybody.
Yeah.
And he just, he runs the, like Kenny said in the voicemail, his route tree. If you can find a guy in college who can run the full route tree, that's like, it's almost rare, because a lot of times these colleges and these spread offenses, they're finding a guy who's a freak athlete or very fast. And that's what he's doing almost every play. He's running the same two routes a game, three routes, and then they're getting him the ball in space and just letting him use his athleticism. Well, that doesn't work in the NFL. You got to be able to run routes and run them well. And we're getting a guy who's seems like he's more polished than a lot of rookies coming into the league in terms of their route running. So I'm excited to see what he can do.
He's more polished. He's a little older. So, I mean, he's had a little more experience. And his football IQ, from all accounts, is everybody raves about it. Like, he just knows where to be and how to get open and what his quarterback's expecting of him. And from what I've read from scouts, they say if you run an offense that requires precision route running and timing and rhythm from your receivers, Jamari Thrash is your guy.
We do
and
that.
We said, that kind of sounds like the Browns offense.
Sounds like the Browns, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll see. You know, new offense coordinator. Who knows?
And like I've been saying, I don't think that this is a guy who's going to come in here and get a ton of snaps and a ton of targets and stuff this season. But I think the Browns are looking. We talked about, we need to look ahead. Like, next year, we're wide receivers a little iffy.
Yeah.
Well, this guy could develop into like a solid wide receiver three for the Browns over the, you know, kind of like. And I'm not saying they're the same type of player, but think about the role Tyler Boyd played for Cincinnati for several years. Mm-hmm. You know, where he's not your top alpha dog or anything, but he's always where he needs to be.
Yep.
If you need to move the chains.
Yep.
No, I agree. I think he has a high. I think it's like a medium floor, but not low ceiling.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. Low floor. Medium ceiling. I don't think this guy's going to come in and be, you know, Stephon Diggs. But that's I don't think he's going to be a scrub. I think he has a chance, like you said, to just be like a very solid.
For a fifth round pick?
Wide receiver on your team.
Yeah. I mean, think about like DPJ was a sixth round pick and he contributed very well. Mm-hmm. You know, Hollywood Higgins, kind of late round guy who ended up carving out a nice role on the offense. I think Jamari Thrash can do the same thing. And what I was reading today is that at Georgia Tech, where he played before he went to Louisville, he was actually used as the outside X receiver.
Interesting.
Predominantly. And then he came to Louisville and they used him more as like the Z or the slot receiver. So he's got versatility. So when you say like he can run the routes, he can run them from all three positions on the field. I think that versatility probably really caught the Browns' eye.
And I know he had some drop issues. Mm-hmm. And I know you put out something about how his drops were there before and after the hand injury. I'm curious, did he have drop issues at Georgia State? Is it followed him his whole career, or was it just when
he got to go back and look? I'm pretty sure what I was reading was that they did, or at least the year before he had drop issues there. But I would have to go back and look. I don't want to say for sure.
You'd like to think you get him up here and you get a wide receiver coach with him and he sits on the jugs machine for an hour every day. You know what I mean? Like, you could take care of that problem.
I mean, he's not the first guy that everybody said, hey, this guy can't catch stuff. And then
people said Jamar Chase couldn't catch for a while.
Or David Njoku.
Yeah.
David Njoku, everybody, that was the thing. Oh, man, drops everything, blah, blah, blah. And
I was watching some tape on him, and it seemed like drops were more of a focus thing, like a lack of concentration, or like, you know, he was looking to see where a defender was to make a move before he had secured the catch. And I said this in the episode the other day. There was one clip, he broke a route off to the corner of the end zone, wide open, totally shook his defender. Quarterback put it right in his hands, and he went to, I could tell, he looked down to see if his toes were in. and he double caught the ball. He had to, instead of just catching it. Mm-hmm. So just stuff like that. I think it's more of secure the ball, then make the next move.
I want to give a shout out to James McGee. Just became a YouTube Dog Pack member.
Plus. All right,
what James. Up, brother?
Thank you, James. We appreciate your support. If you guys aren't YouTube members, we literally never mention this because I forget it exists. But I think, what is it? Is it 99 cents?
99 cents a month. That's it.
It's 99, not even a dollar, and you can become a YouTube member, help support the show. You get the cool Browns emojis and all that good stuff. So we appreciate your support. And yeah, it's less than $12 a year, and it goes a long way for the show. So we appreciate that, guys. I literally always forget to mention that that's an option.
Oh, I got a shout out Nicholas in the chat too. He says, watching Njoku carry three Ravens defenders for 15 yards was a sight to behold. And that's because Aaron Butler's in the chat. So that was wonderful.
I seen you, Aaron. I seen you in there chirping.
All right, so we've got, about 10 minutes to go. We've already talked about Bookie Watson, so I don't think we need to...
No, I agree. We don't. I was just going to jump straight to the D-tackle, seventh-round pick, Juwan Briggs.
Well, do you want to talk about Myles Harden first?
We already kind of talked about him. He's a corner.
Okay, that's fair. I know a lot of people are saying they don't think Myles Harden's really going to make the team or anything. I strongly disagree. I think that this kid is very physical. He's a good run defender, and he plays the slot corner position very well.
So you got to think.
So he could be replacing.
Who's the corners right now?
So it would be the top three, and then you'd have Cam Mitchell and Myles Harden as your fifth. Mm-hmm. And then if you do keep a sixth one, it's probably Tony. Was it Tony Brown? Right. Justin Hardy. I saw some people talking about him. He's only played like a couple defensive snaps his entire career. I know he's listed as a cornerback, but he's not going to play corner. So
yeah, we'll see. I mean, they got him late. I think it's going to be tough for – I mean, we'll see. I think it's going to be tough for a seventh-round draft pick to make this roster. Because they're going to have to make some hard decisions elsewhere too, because, like, defensive line, if you want to keep Mo Hurst, Shelby Harris, Ika, Hall, you're going to be carrying extra defensive line. You're going to have to skimp somewhere else.
No,
like,
you're right.
So it'll be – we'll see. It'll be tough. Like, I think, like, this next guy we're going to talk about, Briggs, he's got a tough – like, it's going to be an uphill climb for him to make the team.
I think so too. I think that now this could be a guy that could get put on the practice squad for a year or two, you know, and kind of develop. Maybe he gets brought up next year when some of these 1 year guys are gone.
I feel like we do this every year too, because we look at the roster and we go, man, not a lot of holes. Like, not a lot. They're like, when you start breaking it down to get down to the final cut roster type deal, you're like, some guys that we really like are probably getting cut, or you know what I mean? So,
and you got to think too, like, even if you got your roster cut downs, and then other teams cut other good players.
You might sneak in and get, you know what I mean?
So like, but what's crazy about this guy is Myles Garrett might be the second biggest lineman on our team now. This dude's huge.
Yeah, he is.
He's ginormous. So he's got that going for him. He's a mountain of man. But we'll see what happens. He did play. He transferred to Cincinnati in 2021. He recorded 130 tackles, 14 and a half sacks, 14 and a half tackles for a loss, 8 sacks. He's a team captain. The only thing that, you know, he was all Big 12, honorable mention. And I just feel like that's not necessarily a stacked defensive conference. And I mean, he's better than me.
No, I think he's a big, strong dude. The Browns met with him in the pre-draft process. So apparently they like what they saw. They probably liked how he interviewed, probably thought he was a good guy to just bring onto the team. And like I said, probably practice squad would be my guess. You know, at this point, hopefully he's good enough to stick around. And hey, if he challenges guys like Ika or anybody that's already kind of locked into a roster spot, that's just better for us.
Yep.
I think like Ika is going to be, he shed a ton of weight, by the way.
I saw that, man. He was looking lean. Yeah.
He lost a ton of weight.
He's on the Blake Reniker plan.
Yeah. He's getting paid more to do it. So that kind of rounds out the draft picks. And then we got about 5 minutes here. Yeah. I wanted to talk about, like, what do you guys think of draft grades?
Okay.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I think that they have to do it, 'cause it's kind of fun, right? Like, I think it's fun, but the thing that's wild for this, like, a lot of this stuff is so hard to see out, like, what, two, three. It's going to take 2-3 years for some of these, especially ours, like our picks this year.
Yep.
This isn't going to be immediate. So I think it's difficult to grade. And then everything that I see, like when I watch Cleveland Browns, like the grades are like, well, didn't have a lot of picks, didn't have a first and a second round pick. I'm like, oh, cool. So does Deshaun Watson and Jerry Jeudy get included into our draft pick grade? Because they should then, right? Since we use those picks to upgrade positions. But I think it's just something that like the media has to do. You know, to me, it's kind of like one of those things, like, we don't know how any of these are going to, there's guys that go in the first round all the time. They're like, that's such a home run pick. And then they don't do anything in the league.
I'd say it's super fun, but it's super dumb.
Correct.
It's so true, man.
Correct.
It's so dumb.
Well, the thing that gets me the most is when these like bigger outlets or whatever do draft grades for all the teams. And it's like, you don't follow the roster. You don't follow the front office. You don't understand their philosophy. You're not looking at their draft history, their tendencies, where they allocate their draft capital, or not draft capital, their salary cap, you know, to. Mm-hmm.
They give out grades based on picking, like, in what they consider the value. So not only who you got, but where you got them. But how can you put value on somebody that you don't know what they're going to be worth? They've never played a down in the NFL.
Right.
Yeah.
So I was watching a video with PFT commentator the other day. He was talking about how stupid draft grades were. And he's talking about one, I think it was 2012, the Seahawks. Somebody came out and they were the only team that got an F grade that year. And they were clowned on for their draft. They had the worst draft picks. It was the worst draft anybody's ever seen. It was the year they drafted Bobby Wagner, Russell Wilson, and somebody else. It's like three, their first three picks are three future Hall of Famers.
Garbage.
And they were the only team to get an F grade that year.
And then they got a Super Bowl out of
and
it.
And then they got and you know, one of the best franchises in the last decade.
Yeah.
Decade plus. So draft grades, again, they're fun, but they're so dumb.
Yep.
It's pointless. It's just so Mel Kiper can have a job.
It's well, and I think like, I think people need that like instant gratification when they go and see their team. Like they need to go, oh man, we knocked it out of the park. We got an A-.
Well, we've been doing it since we were, you know, 4 years old. We've been getting gold stars. If we do, you know, it's like, what's my grade? What's my grade? And
so I think that it's just like people need that instant gratification to it. Like, did we do good? Did we do like how I thought we did? I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not even.
I think this was a solid draft for the Browns. 3 years from now, it might be awful.
Yeah. I saw a C minus.
Or it might be great.
I mean, the year that we drafted Martin Emerson and we didn't draft until the third, I'm sure we didn't get good grades because it's like, oh, the Browns didn't have a first. They traded out of the second into the third. The first guy they took was a corner. They don't need a corner. They've got Ward.
Everybody said he sucked.
And how's that draft grade now?
Pretty good.
Exactly. Pretty damn good.
Yeah.
So, actually, I think the Seahawks did it again a couple of years ago when they got both their tackles and they took the, was it Tariq Woolen, the corner?
Yeah, and he ended up being...
I'm pretty sure their draft grade that year, if I remember correctly, people were kind of like clowning that draft.
D-.
And then they immediately turned it around and went to the playoffs and all those guys are starters. So draft grades are, like I said, they're fun. It's fun stuff to do in the offseason, but they're so dumb. You can't grade a draft for probably minimum 3 years. Minimum.
Yeah.
Especially if you're a good team.
Yeah.
Like we're not expecting to see any of these guys full time for a couple of years.
Yeah. They asked Andrew Berry that before the draft. They said, how long? Because Bill Belichick was saying usually about a year and a half to properly evaluate a rookie. And Andrew Berry, of course, said, depends on the player, the position, where we drafted him, what we expected from him to start with. Like, it just depends on all those things. So if you draft a guy and it's like, we expect you to be a year one starter and you can't be, well, then obviously that's a lower assessment than a guy that's like, oh, he's a 6th round pick, a depth piece, or a 3rd round pick like Emerson. It's like, dude has to be on the field.
Serious roster problems too. Yes. You know what I mean? Where you're like, oh, we have to hit a home run on this pick or we're in big trouble. Like,
yeah, that's what I love about this draft. The Browns needed no home run picks.
Right.
Yep. So, well, we're going to wrap this thing up, a little bit of a shorter live because special treat. We're announcing this, right? We are going to hang up with you guys, and then we are going to be interviewing newest Cleveland Browns running back, Aiden Robbins.
Aiden Robbins, yep.
Okay. And I'm very excited.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This is going to be awesome.
So make sure you guys stay tuned for that episode coming out sometime later this week. He's going to sit down with us. We got him coming in studio. No, I'm just joking. he's in the green room right now. No, we're going to be jumping on a virtual call with him. Can't wait to talk to him, get his thoughts about coming to Cleveland and you know, the draft process and everything he just went through. So we're super excited to have him on. So make sure you guys check that episode out later this week. Again, we appreciate everybody who's here watching. We're in the we're post draft, so there's literally like no good football things going on anymore now. So
we got rookie minicamp in a week.
Well, that would be cool, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, at least we'll get a little bit of,
you know what I mean?
Something.
Yeah. They looked good in shorts.
Yeah.
We appreciate you guys being here, hanging out with us through the off season. We appreciate you guys supporting the show, becoming YouTube members, all that good stuff. So again, make sure you guys check out our interview later this week. Thank you guys for being here, and we'll see you guys again live hopefully next week.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Dogs Podcast. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube and follow us on Twitter at the Dogs Podcast. Get your thoughts on the show at thedogspodcast.com.
This episode is brought to you by Danger Coffee. Browns fans, we talk about how Danger Coffee is made free from mold toxins that are in 45% of the world's coffee, but that's not all that Danger Coffee has to offer. Mineral and nutrient deficiencies are a big deal. They make you feel sick, tired, stressed, and they can give you brain fog. These deficiencies negatively affect your immune system, your digestion, sleep, metabolism. Have you ever wondered why you get an initial burst from your coffee, but then you get that little crash not long after? Danger Coffee's patent-pending process remineralizes your body with more than 50 trace minerals and electrolytes, leaving you more energized, engaged, powerful. These micronutrients enter the cells to boost performance. They bind to toxins to provide detoxification support. I know that sounds like a lot, but the bottom line, guys, is minerals matter. And most of us really don't get enough of them on a daily basis. Danger Coffee delivers micronutrients, plus it gives you access to the minerals you already have. Head to dangercoffee.com, use our code DOGS, D-A-W-G-S, for 10% off your order. And that code can be used over and over. So you get 10% off every order you make using code DOGS. It's time to start every day off with a cup of coffee that gets you going and actually keeps you going. Dangercoffee.com, code DOGS.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.